What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dolphins had no reason to trade Jalen Ramsey other than they're sensitive. There's no leadership in the Dolphins organization. Mike McDaniels is a pushover. Chris Greer, the general manager, he has no backbone. These guys over here, the Miami Dolphins, they are running this team like a little league team. No one can stand up to the players. They're terrified of their own players, and they have no control over their players.
Tell us how you really feel, Asante Samuel Sr. Man, oh man, the pile-on on the Miami Dolphins is officially on. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Joining us, as he always does here on Tuesday mornings on the show, Kyle Krabs. He is the host of Locked On Dolphins and Locked On NFL Scouting. Kyle, good morning, my friend. The Dolphins have turned into the media punching bag. No one is laying off this team right now. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's when you're down, you're down. And when you're up, you're up. And the Dolphins right now are down. And I think it's very easy to look at the face value of trading away Jalen Ramsey with the things that some players have said what they've left and be able to connect those dots. And I think the whole objective of moving on from a player like Ramsey is to try to take the first steps in facilitating some change in that regard. I don't agree with the idea that that there was no reason other than we don't have a backbone here in South Florida, but it certainly, that conflict was spurred on by some of the problems that you had very well documented for the Dolphins over the last couple of years. And I think to change it, you can't just have guys that have been in the building that have been used to getting their way with you. You have to transition away from some of those players to help facilitate some change, and we'll see whether or not it happens.
So, Kyle, we spent a lot of time talking about Mike McDaniel this morning, and you obviously heard the comments there, and those are not the first comments of that nature. I tend to disagree with it. I've always thought Mike had an interesting approach, and I liked his approach of, you know, hey, you guys are pros. You know, you do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to be here to babysit you. I'm not going to be here to berate you. I just think the players have taken his kindness for weakness and have kind of, you know, dumped all over him here. And it just hasn't worked out because of that. But I don't hate his approach. I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I think I go back to the comments that Lewis Riddick recently had. He did an interview with Marissa Myers from DolphinsTalk.com, and Lewis Riddick talked about how when you're the foundation of your roster is not necessarily players that you have brought in and built through the draft. So there's different expectations of the ways of doing things at the NFL level. And when you bring high paid players in from here, there, and everywhere, and they've had different stops along the way. The universal buy-in and everybody moving in the same direction, you have guys that hear how you do things here and you kind of thumb your nose at it, or you scoff at it, and well, that's now how I did it when I became a successful player. So I think that really goes back to one of the roots of you can go about having a successful team and building a successful culture and program in a number of different ways. But with the way that the Dolphins with this leadership group have tried to do it, I think that's why you see them kind of transition to younger players and hungrier players that are veterans. And then you're getting back to a youth movement and building through drafts so that the guys that you're bringing in and the guys that you have brought in that have had successes, that reinforcement is, this is the way we do things here. Be on board. And, you know, I think that's the biggest blockade for Jalen Ramsey in any regard is the way that he's always done things individually. Well, he went to Jacksonville and then he didn't like how Jacksonville went. So he decided he was going to facilitate leaving and he left. And then he went to LA and he didn't like how things went there after they won the Super Bowl. So he facilitated leaving and then he goes to Miami. So I think that's the thing for Mike is you got to have guys that buy in. Well, how do you do that? And I think at any level of building a football program, it goes back to bringing guys in and having everybody understand this is how we do it here.
Kyle, you cover this team as closely as anyone. You've been around Mike McDaniel. I also don't subscribe to the, you know, what was just said there too, that he's a pushover and, you know, no backbone and all that stuff. And everyone got to see, you know, the way that he addresses the team on Hard Knocks. And I just don't subscribe to that. Now, yes, does he give the players freedom to kind of operate on their own a little bit and that kind of stuff? Yes, he does. He allows them that. But I don't believe that he's just some pushover that these guys walk all over. He's not Joe Philbin when he gets in front of the team and addresses them.
I've heard him get after his football team after training camp practices on more than one occasion, and the way in which you would hear Mike McDaniel talk at the podium or a press availability or see him from afar and maybe not assume that he does. And with all due respect to Asante Samuel, I missed the last time he was taking snaps for Mike McDaniel, so he would know anything about how Mike McDaniel really is. So I think it's very easy to just kind of pile on, and that this is not to dismiss that they haven't had their problems, right? But I think it's very easy to look at from afar and take the surface level dots and connect and then look at how Mike looks and take some of the feedback that's been given and to make assumptions that are even grander than the things that are true that are problems around the Dolphins.
And as much as people want to dump on Mike McDaniel and his style, is there any room in today's professional sports, especially in the NFL, for there to be that fire and brimstone coach that really yells, screams, and, you know, kicks dust at people and have a successful team that will follow him?
I think there's a balance for everything, but I also look at, well, how some of the old school coaches there and their tenures ended, and that includes, you know, the Bill Belichick stuff in New England, and he was notorious for that kind of stuff, and Stephon Gilmore just told a recently joined a podcast that James White hosts and told a really funny story about the first time that he got picked out of a bunch and Belichick jumped down his throat and he was like, I almost cried. It was horrible. I do think you are dealing with a little bit of a new age athlete and old school fans and traditionalists and older fans that know the Don Shula years probably. It, just sit there and roll their eyes about that, and I get it, but it is the nature of the beast in today, and you need balance with everything, and I don't think the Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Don Shula style would really resonate with a lot of today's athletes, so I do think there is a middle ground that you have to walk, but you do have to hold the players accountable, and you do have to have an edge to you, and how much of that Mike McDaniel has and has not had is obviously the only people that really know that with great deal of confidence are the people in the building.
That's why we need you out at training camp, Kyle, because we're up there sitting with Joe and Bo and Prisco and those guys. And I hear how soft everything is and, you know, how tough it was in their day. That's why we need the youth movement, Kyle. We need guys like you around to keep those guys in line, man.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get down for about a week and a half this year, so excited for that opportunity. And I don't think I'm going to be able to change Joe or Bo's mind about the nature of training camp in 2 or 3 days versus what it is these days, but it is what it is.
Bo's a little more stubborn than Joe, but we'll get him to come around at some point, Kyle. I got to ask you, you got a new piece up here, A2ZSports.com. Cam Smith's Dolphins future could go 4 different directions. Tell us about that, Kyle.
Yeah, so the Dolphins have challenged Cam Smith pretty openly between Chris Greer saying literal verbatim, we can't hold his hand anymore and wait on him. They've kind of challenged him to grow up. And I see this going 1 of 4 different ways. I think the middle two outcomes are the most likely. The first one that was outlined was Cam Smith takes a big leap in year 3, and Mike McDaniel talked about his eye discipline and that allowing him to be in the right places and have his transitions better. And that would be a big leap based off what we've seen from Cam through 2 years. The middle two, which I think are the most likely, is Cam continues to kind of be stuck amongst the pack, and the Dolphins sign a veteran corner and it pushes him down the totem pole, and now he's fighting for potentially a third outside corner opportunity. Or he deals with the injury stuff like he did last year, right, where he had 2 separate stints on IR, and that was really what killed any momentum that he could have had for his second season. And then the fourth, and it's the least likely, but depending on what happens with the other players, if they sign a veteran corner, and then if he ends up getting lapped by names like Storm Duck and Artie Burns is out in front of him, they do have a numbers crunch at corner. If Ethan Bonner has a bounce back season and he's got gassed up a little bit, Jason Marshall passes him as a rookie, you're going to have to do a roster cut. And I don't know that, you know, if Cam has a catastrophic camp, financially speaking, there are pathways in which you could maybe move on from Cam Smith. I don't think they cut him because he's a second round pick going into year 3. But they've managed to find something for Noah Igbinoghene, you know, like a player-for-player swap. So if somebody sees Cam Smith, they like Cam Smith, they don't feel like they're going to make it a roster, and you could do a player-for-player swap something, I think that's the most long shot of the outcomes, but it is one that, you know, I just look at that cornerback room and say, man, like Cam, like second-round pick status is only going to carry you so far. And you got a lot of competition if you're not going to be pushing for a starting role.
Who's another player on this Dolphins team that really needs to step up for this team to see some success this season?
I think about who they ended up tabbing as kind of the utility offensive lineman, and Larry Borum. I think his fit with this team is really important because he has guard experience. I think he's going to get a chance to stick at tackle first. And Austin Jackson's coming off of a season-ending injury last year. And when the run game really died off, it was when Austin Jackson went out, and the replacement, the swing player, Kendall Lamb, was much more of a pass protector than he was a run blocker. And Larry, in that transition, he's a better run blocker and kind of that aggressive style of explode off the ball and, you know, a lot of displacement early in a rep. I think that's a better fit. But to have that utility player be somebody who fits the scheme and doesn't totally kill your run game, I think is another ancillary player who hopefully we don't have to see at all, but if you do, his fit makes him, I think, a really important piece.
Kyle Krabs here with us. He's the host of the Locked On Dolphins and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, also A to Z Sports NFL. Kyle, you cover the league as well, and if you don't mind, I'm just curious, so we'll stick AFC East here. What are your thoughts on the rest of the teams in the division here? The Jets seem like there's a lot of question marks. The Pats seem like there's a lot of question marks. I guess the Bills are probably head and shoulders above the rest. But is it going to be a fight for second place here? Because I don't know what to make of these teams. There have been a lot of changes with both of those teams, the Jets and the Patriots. What do you make of those two teams?
Yeah, I think that's the thing the Dolphins do have going for them is the direction and the leadership of the other two teams did change, where you have Rabel coming in New England in year 1 and Josh McDaniels at OC, and they are investing in the skill groups significantly. They're drafting running backs and wide receivers and signing Stephon Diggs, and it's a ton of new for that offense and Drake May. And the offensive line, despite they've made some investments and obviously made the investment in Will Campbell, there's still some unsettled spots there. Now, they spent more in free agency than anybody. They gave out the most guaranteed money in free agency. They had to overspend on a few players, and that's kind of the nature of the beast when you win 8 games in 2 years, and that's kind of where New England is at. Now, usually the team that spends that most in free agency, they do increase their win total by a significant amount on an annual basis. So I think New England's probably going to be floating around 500 would be my guess for them. Mm-hmm. And then the Jets, much more of kind of a foundational year with they got a good offensive line, but the defense, and that was the identity of the team, and now that's changing. Justin Fields, whole new coaching staff, whole new executive branch. I think they're going to have a little bit more of just a foundational year. So I do think Miami and New England, you know, if things go well for Miami this year, I would expect them to finish second in the division, and then you would need like a catastrophic season from Buffalo with a whole bunch of injuries to make things interesting in my mind. But that's kind of my expected pecking order right now.
So that would probably get you up to 9 or 10 wins, and I would ask you what you need to get to that, and I guess it really starts with, you know, first things first, your quarterback has to stay healthy, but the other thing that has to happen is, you know, offensively, Kyle, you got to get that offensive line going where you have some sort of running game, which would give a guy like Tyreek Hill an opportunity to have a bounce back year here for the Dolphins. And amazingly enough, they got his on the old Hard Rock app here. They got his receiving yards total 975.5, which I think Tyreek could do with one leg. But a lot's going to come down to that quarterback and offensive line.
Yeah, I think the whole season outlook for Miami, if you told me that the Dolphins got a 17-game stand out of Tua, I would say this team will have a winning record this year. Now, if he doesn't and how long he's gone, Zach Wilson, you're up, and it's somebody different every year. And nothing that's happened thus far has given you the confidence that backup quarterback play is going to yield even like a sufficient, not even a good, but a sufficient product. So it's the big mystery. It is the X factor of the season, but I do think they have enough pieces in place. I like what they did on the defensive front. I really like their front seven, and now the safety room with Minkah Fitzpatrick with these other guys that they brought in. I think that can be a good room too. It's really the question at cornerback. It's the health of the edge guys, and it's the health of Tua. And if you get two out of those three things to go well, I think you are talking about a winning season for the Dolphins.
So that's the good side of things. The bad side of things, and the amount of people nationally that have weighed in on the Dolphins recently is kind of incredible here. We were playing Tom Pelissero the other day, and he said it too. And, you know, if things don't go well this season, that could be it for Tua and Mike and Chris. And, you know, Kyle, I don't see an 85-year-old Stephen Ross wanting to go through another 5-year rebuild. And that's what it would take, right? I mean, to blow the whole thing up and to go through all of that again is just not easy. But is that a reality here that you think could happen if things don't go well? If they win, let's say, you know, 6 or 7 games, do they blow the whole thing up? Like, how do you see the you know, other side of this thing going should it not get to a, you know, a 10 or 11 win season?
Yeah, I think that the nice thing about the way that this offseason played out is if you do have those bad lower band outcomes for Miami, I don't know that you have to blow everything up the way that you did in 2019 where – you had these really expensive pass rushers and they were older players and you had a bunch of deferred money on all these contracts. And the Tua contract is the big one to negotiate. And in March, his 2026 compensation did guarantee. So, you know, if he has another injury riddled season and they do make foundational changes, I don't think you have to tear the whole roster to shreds. And but it's the big picture conversations. It's, who's managing the roster? Who's coaching the football team? And who's the quarterback? I think those are the three things. Those are the three places that you look at. But I think the Dolphins, they've got a younger nucleus of offensive line. They just have infused between Chop Robinson and Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, a defensive line. They got some other players. Jordan Brooks is a young player that's just coming off his rookie contract when he signed in Miami to come over. Obviously, Jaylen Waddle. Devon Achane, like, you have pieces, and I think that's the big difference between now, if you have to make a hard pivot, and in 2018, 2019, is all of those best players you had were older, expensive, with deferred cap commitment players. So I wouldn't take anything off the table as far as what the outcomes could look like if the season does not go well, but I don't think you would see anything near the extreme, nor would be my expectation that it would have to be a five-year process, probably more of a two-year process and a pivot if they did have to make those kinds of changes. But you have to find a quarterback in that process as well.
I'll leave you on this one here. And, you know, Joe talked about this last week when he was here. And, you know, I feel it. And I'm curious what you feel. Joe said the Dolphin fan frustration is the highest he's ever felt it. And I know that Joe talks to fans all over the country. I know you do as well. Have fans, in your eyes, reached a boiling point here? Like, I mean, is this it? Like, because I don't know how much more they can take of mediocrity. It's year after year after year. Is the fan frustration at an all-time high in your eyes?
It feels like it, but I also don't have the wealth of experience that Joe has with the good times and the bad times. So it carries a lot of weight for me that Joe has that perception of where the fan base is at. But it feels like there's very few things other than, hey, wish we'd had a higher ceiling over the last couple of years. That's a consensus feeling amongst every fan. You know, everything seems to be polarizing as far as what everybody thinks the problems are, but everybody knows that there's been limitations and everybody has their own different opinions on how you go about fixing those things. And it's a very complicated ball of twine to try to unravel. And because it's so complicated, that's why I feel like a lot of fans really have that angst about it right now.
Well, we want to make sure fans know where to find you, Kyle, at Kyle Krabs on Twitter, A to Z Sports NFL, and of course the host of Locked On Dolphins, Locked On NFL Scouting, must listens and must watches for all of those there. Kyle, thank you for the time. As always, look forward to talking to you again next week, and I hope to see you soon in person.
That sounds great.
All right, Kyle Krabs, kind enough to join us here this morning, as he always does here on the show. We're going to take a pause. We have an anniversary here that we're going to celebrate, I guess, in a way here, Dan. We're going to celebrate this thing when we come back here on the show. It is the 15-year anniversary, if my math serves me correct, of something here today. So we'll get to that when we come back here on QAM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.